Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer back alongside my co-host and great friend, Mr. Brent Beard, longtime college football analyst, most recently First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. There is our show mascot, right on time, joining Brent Beard. That's Chino, the show cat.
Brent, that's right.
On a frigid Wednesday night, we're live here on Ryer on YouTube.
The for our viewers who are used to cold weather down here in the Jacksonville area, where Travis and I are, we don't get a whole lot. Now, look, I like cool weather. I know I'm not a 95 degree guy, but this is a bit much. We're supposed to moderate over the next few days, and that's good. But Travis, as you and I both grew up with parents and grandparents and friends, and say, hey, this is just good football weather, isn't it?
Good chilly weather, good vegetable beef.
Yeah.
Soup weather, maybe.
Yeah, I like that.
Cast iron skillet, buttermilk, ooh, cornbread to go along right with it. Good fattening up weather is what this is.
Yeah, no doubt.
When you really think about it, but sure, been frigid the last couple of weeks. I mean, look at like Gulf Shores, Alabama,
yeah,
and Panama really. City Beach and Pensacola, just getting hammered with snow here in the last 24 to 36 hours. Northeast Florida, not so much. Woke up this morning, looked out back. We had sort of a wintry mix, as they like to call it there on the Weather Channel. Looked like a sleet rain type thing, but didn't produce much of the pretty stuff at all. But we've got a lot of college football to talk about on the program tonight, a lot of college basketball to talk about on the program tonight as well. As always, we invite you to jump into the show chat, share your thoughts, questions, comments, whatever you may have for Brent and myself. We are open to that. We've got another interesting night of Southeastern Conference basketball going on right now, Brent. Just saw the Florida Gators on the road in Columbia, South Carolina, come back from 14 down, much of that in the second half, to take down a still winless in the league South Carolina team. Florida did what it needed to do in the game. South Carolina, at the same time, I thought over the final 10 minutes of that game, kind of showed you why a team is 0-6 in the league. South Carolina is, but not to undervalue the importance of that win for Todd Golden's team on the road.
And Trav, help me on this, but wasn't the winning shot the only time they'd been ahead the whole game?
I think pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it was South Carolina throughout in that matchup. Yeah. And that's going to be a tough one for the Gamecocks.
It really will.
To digest here in the coming days and weeks, because it's already a tough enough league. But when you've got that type of situation
really
at home, on your home floor, you got to close out wins. And look, Arkansas's right there with South Carolina right now. They got a tough one at home tonight against an improved Georgia Bulldogs basketball team. So nothing easy in this league, as we know, pretty much in any sport. But certainly it's applicable to college hoops right now in the Southeastern Conference. Brent, we've got the college football season in our wake now. After the Ohio State Buckeyes on Monday night became the second Big Ten team in a row to win a national championship, Ohio State gets it done over Notre Dame in Atlanta, Georgia, 34-23. And I thought really in that game, Brent, it came down to explosive plays probably as much as anything else. You knew Ohio State had that kind of capability going into that game with Notre Dame. Notre Dame in sort of a tortoise versus the hare matchup needed it to be more of a tortoise-type game. But I thought Ohio State got more of the game it wanted. Give Notre Dame a lot of credit. Kind of made that thing interesting, even in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they sure did. They were – almost hopelessly behind at one point, and then they were able to close it to 8. And then the 3rd-and-11 play, I thought was just a tremendous call with Ohio State to Jeremiah Smith catching an incredible pass, or I guess for him, not incredible, kind of a usual pass. With that, congratulations to Ohio State. The first time the Big Ten has had one back-to-back national championships. Now, some will say the last time that happened was Michigan State back in the 60s. My understanding is It actually went back further than that to the 40s, believe it or not, Trav.
Wow.
But again, the Big Ten kind of flexing its muscles with that. Couple things have just kind of come down from that game. The ratings are out for the game. 22.1 million viewers. Washington and Michigan last year had 25 million. At one point, Ohio State and Notre Dame peaked at 26 million. So the ratings comparatively were down a little bit, but no one's going to complain about those kind of ratings. And Trav, I just saw a few minutes ago, how about Al Golden going to the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yep.
Or at least is headed that way. I thought was a major difference maker for that Notre Dame defense as D coordinator.
It really was. Going back to Cincinnati, where he had previously worked as an assistant. So back to the National Football League for Golden. Be interesting to see how Notre Dame goes about backfilling there. I give Marcus Freeman a lot of credit.
Yes.
I know there was, you know, a lot of talk about the path that Notre Dame took to kind of just getting into the playoff. But once it was there, impressive against Indiana, did what it needed to do against a Carson Beckless Georgia team in New Orleans. And then just a thrilling win in the Orange Bowl over Penn State before coming up short to Ohio State. Kind of just tells you where we're at in college football, too, with this playoff. Because Ohio State, the first team that will be able to say that it won the Rose Bowl, it won the Cotton Bowl, won the national championship, didn't win its league championship game, didn't play, right, in its conference championship game. So
that's right.
That's college football in 2024 and going to be interesting. We've heard about tweaks, right, to the system coming up maybe here pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much in 25. But there certainly will be in 26. They're going to expand it. Some people wanted to go backwards. It ain't going backwards. They make too much money, right, Trav?
Yeah,
so,
no.
So the reality of that. But, and some
they're,
other
not, they're not going to subtract zeros.
No.
They're going to add zeros.
Yeah.
They're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to 14 or 16, Ohio State won the first four-team college football playoff as the number four seed, won the first 12-team college football playoff as an eight seed. I was interested in this, and I know you. I know you remember this. The last three national championship Ohio State quarterbacks: Craig Krenzel, Cardale Jones, and Will Howard. Trav, how about that for a trio?
Yeah, Cardale, of course, came off the bench back in 2014 to take Ohio State on a bit of an improbable run, but. It's just
and he was
be,
a third team guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't even the first guy off the bench, I don't think, back then. Cardale Jones, but Ezekiel Elliott and the rest of that team, that was a really good football team under Urban Meyer. But the Buckeyes make right a big, big wrong in losing to rival Michigan in the final game of the 2024 regular season, rush through the college football playoff. And that was an impressive. You think about the brands that Ohio State took care of in that four-team run. I mean, they got the Tennessee part of – they got the SEC part of it done with Tennessee and, you know, just kind of what they were able to do. Really, a couple of SEC teams, the two UTs in Tennessee and Texas, and then Notre Dame in the championship game, very, very impressive for Ryan Day and his team. But you know what else? Never too early to look ahead to 2025. And with that, what we'll do, we're going to take a look at some projected win totals in Vegas that are already up for you, where some SEC teams are concerned. And then we'll also get into some Heisman Trophy candidates, because it was a very quiet year for the Southeastern Conference on the Heisman Trophy front, as we know as well. But I guess where we'll start is with national championship odds here for the 2025 season. Going to go ahead and pull those up right here. Let's see if I can get that right here on the screen. There we go. There you see it right there, Brent.
Yes.
And what we're going to do is kind of run through that. I just want to get your reaction to, you know, your thoughts on, you know, how this lines up in your opinion. And we'll start right there at the top. According to Vegas, and I think this is FanDuel that we're looking at right here with these odds, Ohio State, the favorite at plus 450, and then Texas, the Arch Manning era, expected to get underway. Georgia, I think, even with the sort of uncertainty, especially at the quarterback position, perhaps still a top four team in the eyes of Vegas at plus 700. If you're wondering where that third SEC team comes into play out in Vegas right now, it's still the Alabama Crimson Tide at plus 1600. And that doesn't jive with some of the way too early top 25s.
Yeah.
I saw Brett McMurphy at Alabama, I think 23rd.
Yeah.
And is way too early. Yeah. But Vegas isn't quite ready to go there yet with Alabama, Brent.
And Vegas tends to know things, don't they, Trav? They have some information. Look, when you look at this Alabama, as many starters that are coming back, particularly on defense, I think rating Alabama too low would be a real mistake. I've got Circa Sports too, that kind of jives with a lot of what you're talking about. Ohio State 5-1, Georgia 6-1, and then Oregon certainly 6.5, Texas at 7, Penn State, Alabama. They've got Notre Dame at 17-1. And Trev, one thing I wanted to point out, people really, just a quick aside here, criticize Notre Dame for their schedule. Well, the Notre Dame schedule next year, Trev, to their credit, which dovetails with what we talk about here, is they start with Miami on the road. Then they go to Texas A&M, they go to Arkansas, and then they play Boise State later on the year. So that Irish schedule beefing up for next season.
It is, and it needed to. And I think there is value in a team like Alabama because I don't have as much concerns, even after this season, with Kalen DeBoer getting the quarterback situation right going into 2025, even with Jalen Milroe moving on. Perhaps Tennessee kind of in that same boat. You know, Nico's coming back, or at least that's the thought at this point.
Yeah,
a lot of love for Clemson. Not an SEC team, but Dabo's gotten a lot of good news in terms of returning players, made the change at the defensive coordinator spot. You've got LSU as a sort of fifth SEC team in this mix right now behind Alabama, Tennessee in that 3-4 spot. You got LSU, Ole Miss coming in there, Texas A&M, South Carolina is sort of a top 12-ish option in these odds that we're looking at right now. Florida with DJ Lagway coming back, a lot of momentum for the Gators. Expectations for Auburn to be massively improved, perhaps with Jackson Arnold stepping in there at the quarterback position. And even Oklahoma we're seeing here with a little bit of encouraging sort of outlook, at least from the Vegas perspective. What do you think, Brent, of the teams we sort of outlined here, given the odds involved? Where would you look in terms of value to win the national championship? A couple of different ways I would look. I think Texas, even at plus 650 this early.
Yes.
And first of all, you got to be crazy to bet this stuff for next season. Really? I mean, you got to be, you got to be a real one when it comes to the betting. If you're really going in. Now, there are some situations that we've seen even this last season that, you know, if you jumped on some teams, even in some early lines for some games, for some game weeks, you probably would have been well served. But what do you think in terms of teams right now? This understanding things can still change massively from a roster perspective that just based on today might have some pretty good value looking ahead.
Trim, I'm going to throw Ole Miss in there as far as the first one that comes to mind to me. Austin Simmons. A lot of folks may not know a lot about him, but he did get some playing time. Daquan Wright at tight end. Santarian Perkins at linebacker. Now, they did lose Trey Amos, who Travis and I both really like.
Great corner.
No doubt. And guys like Walter Nolan will certainly be a loss. Trey Harris, Jackson Dart, to say the least. But hearing from an Ole Miss – radio friend yesterday who said this is going to be another top 10-ish team for Lane Kiffin. That now Princely U is going to the NFL, but he's got a brother that is coming, comes from Nebraska, Sean Womack, coming over from LSU. So I think you've got to, if you're an SEC fan, appreciate them. And as you mentioned, Trav, I'm going to throw South Carolina in there with Lenore Sellers coming back. I think that that's going to be important. You and I love the defensive line with Dylan Stewart. Now, obviously, they lost some guys. Kyle Kennard, I think, was a big-time loss with them. But boy, oh, boy, could this Ole Miss or South Carolina team be sniffing that top 10 throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of love for Shane Beamer and Lenore Sellers.
There really is.
And that is a team that offensively you expect to sort of take a jump, go to an even higher level in 2025. And schedule-wise, it kind of lines up for South Carolina in some ways. Remember, South Carolina went to Alabama last season. Alabama goes to South Carolina in 2025. You get Clemson in Columbia. Projections for the Tigers to be a really good football team next season as well. So some things that line up pretty well for Carolina. Get Oklahoma, I believe, in Columbia, South Carolina next season. It's going to be a very interesting team to watch. And, you know, you look at Florida, and we'll talk about some of these win projections. I think Florida is only projected right now in Vegas at 6.5 for its win total. But and you think, wow, with all that momentum and that was still a 7-8 win team. And these lines, by the way, are just for the regular season. They don't take into account bowl games or conference championship games or anything like that. And even with DJ Lagway, but that schedule is still going to be tough.
That's unreal.
I mean, it just kind of flips with the road games, it's still going to be very, very tough. So, whereas again, a lot of positivity, a lot of optimism for Florida moving forward. Florida should be, or could be, and should be a much better team next season than it was this season, and still could end up an 8-9 win team based on that schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Travis said, road games at LSU, Miami, A&M, and Ole Miss. My goodness.
Get to some of that.
I'm curious your take. I'll give Zach Goodall credit for this. Napier is still unlikely to hire an offensive coordinator. Still wants to continue to call the plays. So Gator fans still a little wary of that one, Trav. I bet Pops is too.
You know what, though? As long as DJ Lagway's good with it,
yeah.
Guess who's going to be calling the plays?
No question.
Nate. So that's what matters most. What's going to keep DJ Lagway improving and playing at an even higher level in 2025? You've also got your Heisman odds, your early Heisman odds, that we'll get into before we get into maybe some more of the win projection totals for 2025. And with that, we pull up here. There we go. We got you right there covered. There you see it. What about Garrett Nussmeier?
Yeah.
Right here. Yeah. Kind of at the top of this list, Brent, the LSU quarterback coming back. He and Arch Manning, two SEC quarterbacks right now, according to FanDuel, your co-Heisman early favorites at +850.
Well, I tell you, I like Nussmeier. I think he's a very good quarterback. The problem last year was he did not have a offensive line that was anywhere near as good as they thought it was going to be with that. And Trev, how about Michael Van Buren, who could see a little bit of time? You know, I think probably they think he's going to be the guy in 26 with that. But and I'm not saying there's a lot of pressure on Brian Kelly in this situation, but I tell you what also is going to help Garrett Nussmeier is when Harold Perkins coming back, Trav, as we've talked over the last few months. if they can fit him in and they can let him do what he does best and find that perfect position, that's going to make a difference.
Yeah. There's going to be hopes for LSU to maybe be something along the lines of 2019 when you got Joe Burrow back for that final season. I just don't know right now if the firepower around us is going to be Ja'Marr Chase, like Jefferson, like those kind of guys, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, man, Moss at the tight end position in 2019. That was a hell of a collection offensive players, and Burrow had an amazing year, as we know. Arch is obviously going to be the
no doubt
the conversation piece going into the season. And I know that Texas, too, is going to have to replace, I think, both starting offensive tackles, got some wide receivers moving on to the NFL draft. I don't worry about offensive skill people, though, with Sark. That's going to be fine. They're going to take care of that. And then you look at, again, more of these Heisman odds. You got Nico there in the top five, Lenore Sellers up there. You've got, how about Carson Beck now with Miami there in the top 10? John Mateer coming into the league from Washington State, the transfer quarterback, going to be a Norman Lagway also in that mix. And then there's Austin Simmons, the quarterback you talked about a little bit earlier. Very, very impressive when he got the opportunity, as you alluded to, especially in that win over Georgia after Jackson Dart went out for a moment. You get into more of non-quarterbacks where the league is concerned. Gunnar Stockton there also on this list. Then you get into Ryan Williams, the wide receiver from Alabama, which the question there becomes who's going to get him the football more than anything else.
No, yeah, absolutely. And that could be Ty Simmons. It may not. Simpson. That's going to be very interesting. Look, good call you mentioned with Arch Manning, Trav losing Kelvin Banks and Cameron Williams for those two tackles. If you're and again, Arch is probably not the Heisman's not his big thing there, but and I think taking some pressure off him, Quinn Wisner, who played well for Texas toward the end, I think will be rather fascinating. And Trav, how about Marcel Reed at A&M? Le'Veon Moss coming back, Reuben Owens coming back. That certainly is going to help tremendously. Now, they do lose Nick Skirton, who came from Purdue at defensive end, Shamir Turner, Shamir Stewart. So they're losing some defensive guys, but A&M's a lot more concerned probably right now about getting away from that 8-5 or 8-4 that they seem to have had the last several years.
Yeah, this is a sort of a top 20 compilation of Heisman odds for players for 2025, and when you look at the list, you've got in terms of SEC quarterbacks: Nussmeier, Manning, Nico, Sellers, Mateer, Lagway, Simmons, Stockton, Reed. That's nearly half of this list.
It really is.
Is SEC quarterbacks. That's nine SEC quarterbacks. Yeah. And then when you throw Ryan Williams in there, you're talking about half of this list consisting of SEC players. So maybe the SEC will be okay after all. Rumors of its death or maybe just a tad bit premature. So as we continue way too early with some thoughts on 2025, understanding, of course, again, that a lot can change and probably will in the time between now and even the end of spring football practice.
Yeah.
Right? Forget about August, just between now and the end of April, you know, how things could change. Want to get into some win totals with you too, Brent, and kind of go through some of these for some SEC teams. Let's see what we can pull up here. Let's do this. We've got them right there. There we go. Let's do that. Let's do that right there. I think we can see those. There's Alabama at the top of this list. The thing that kind of strikes you is that none of these totals are all that high, but then you think about how expansion in these leagues have made things a lot tougher. Yeah. Alabama sitting there at 8.5 for year two under Kalen DeBoer. 9 wins in the 12-game regular season. How do you think that would be received? If Alabama went over the 8.5, let's say, got 9 wins, 9-3. Do you think that would, how does that sell with that Alabama fan base, especially after the finish to year one under Kalen DeBoer?
I would say who are the three, too? Yeah. If they're Georgia, Tennessee, and LSU, I think fans could deal with that. And Trev, if you're 9-3 and you lose to that group, I would think you're certainly in the talk. Maybe what and one of the last few to get in, which would certainly be important for them. So yeah, that would be humongous for them to be able to do that and to get in the playoffs. Absolutely, depending on who it's going to be to, is that Georgia game in Athens already looms massive for both those teams.
It absolutely does. And don't forget, Alabama goes to Tallahassee.
That's right.
To open the 2025 season. And I wanted to kind of combine this with these win totals in some of these instances, Brent, because it looks like some of the early week one spreads are already out too. Per FanDuel, and Alabama is 7.5, 8-point favorite at Doak Campbell Stadium in that opener. So interesting to consider for sure. We moved down this list. Florida Gators, we talked about right now, looking like 6.5 for the total in the regular season. That may surprise some folks, but as we outlined just a few moments ago, the schedule load does not lighten for Billy Napier's team for this next season. Georgia Bulldogs sitting there at 9.5 wins. And again, you think about Georgia, you see that number, and in years past, you say, boy, that's low. But this isn't Eastern and Western Division football in the Southeastern Conference. And we know Georgia took a big step up in schedule a year ago. And you kind of talked about this, too. The difference in Alabama and Georgia going over their totals, these projected totals for next season, could come down to that matchup in Athens.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Trev, I'm real curious what you've heard about this, and I've only seen this once, and I'm going to couch it almost like a rumor, but Buck Ballew, who former Georgia quarterback, has a radio program in Athens or in Atlanta. One of the things that I saw quoted from him last week was Will Muschamp not coming back on the field role. Yeah. And the big one that stuck out to me, Mike Bobo possibly stepping down. Now, Mike Bobo, as we know, has certainly been the whipping boy for Georgia fans for years. So those are things worth watching over the next few days and weeks, Trev.
In the last few weeks, a good friend of mine, Brian Jones, played at Georgia years ago. He really, really close with Mike Bobo and Kirby and that group. They all played together. I mean, yes. They were roommates. They referred to themselves as the Magnificent Seven, these seven guys. And that's the point I made to Brian, about kind of Bobo and really even Kirby.
Yeah.
Because it's a ton of money and it's a lot of success and it's an amazing legacy. But I wonder if some of these coaches that are getting in so early as head coaches now, like Kirby did.
Yeah.
I wonder if they get out earlier at some point.
Oh yeah.
Because I think Kirby, one of his sons is a fledgling football player. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people kind of look at that and say, you know what? I think Kirby's going to want to stay around to see if he can coach his son maybe at UGA. But I think that's still a ways off. I'm getting to the point where I don't know anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Kirby Smart ends up saying, you know what? I do want to coach my kid, but I'm going to coach him at Athens Christian or whatever because of how the sport is so crazy now and how college athletics has been turned upside down. Again, I don't know anything. I'm kind of preparing myself for whether it's Kirby Smart or someone else. We see some guys get out early. Yeah. Mike Bobo's had health issues in the past too. It's a thankless position that he's in.
It is. Yeah.
At Georgia right now. And look, I I wouldn't blame any of these guys anymore if they said, you know what, I'm going into chief assistant or chief of staff for Kirby. And I'm going to take a pretty big pay cut, but still going to make a pretty good check. I'm still going to have all the benefits and everything that I have in that or being on a staff like that. It does make you wonder. So that's interesting to note about perhaps the Georgia staff moving forward.
Well, and Trav, and you probably remember this last year, basically at the SEC championship game, Nick Saban on the platform with Kirby, and Nick was talking about being there 17 years, and Kirby almost under his breath said, "There is no way that I will be at Georgia 17 years."
Kirby to me is aged like a president.
Yeah,
watching him in the seriously.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, and he's had the tragic loss of his father here recently. Right, so you don't know. I mean, you really don't. And and the stakes continue to go up. The seasons are longer. There's so much involved now that wasn't involved just 4 or 5 years ago. You're not getting as much bang for your buck. It's still a ton of cash. I get it.
Oh yeah.
But there used to be gaps, at least small ones.
Yeah.
Kind of gave you a chance to catch your breath. Those have pretty much gone by the wayside. Hey, the LSU Tigers also in that neighborhood of projected wins in terms of 8.5 with Nussmeier coming back. That would sound a little bit low, but that's a team too. Offensive line still going to have some things you need to address there. Yeah. Kyron Lacy moves on at the wide receiver position. You're right about Perkins coming back. You anticipate in year two with that new defensive staff, there being a pretty significant jump on that side of the ball, which has been really problematic the last year.
It has. And Trev, look, you and I both know Bo Davis after his first year from coming from Texas, I would expect major improvement on that defensive line. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so for sure. And speaking of LSU in openers that we're kind of tying into this, LSU at Clemson.
That's right.
How about that for a fun opener? Another one of those SEC, ACC type challenge games. Going to have a couple of those that involve neutral sites, but then you're going to have some true home and homes like Alabama, Florida State, and LSU. The battle, I guess, for the real Death Valley, Brent.
Really.
That sounds like.
Those two. Well, and obviously, Nussmeier
Clemson, by the way, an early 2.5-point favorite. Way too early.
Yeah. Let's not run to Vegas on that one. But
not yet.
Caden Durham comes back at running back. Trav, how about Aaron Anderson? Is he ready to come into his own? What was it, Bama, with Weeks at linebacker? Look, they've also got Patrick Payton from Florida State, Jack Pyburn from Florida, Nick Anderson from Oklahoma. Yeah. I mean, they did well in that portal, didn't they?
They load up. They load up. There's no doubt about that. We continue to move through the list. What about the Tennessee Vols? Sitting there at 9.5 wins projected for 2025 in the regular season. I think part of that too goes Tennessee in terms of non-con. It's not really a formidable situation, is it? When we talk about some of these other matchups, that should benefit Tennessee. Although, I mean, that opener against Syracuse in Atlanta, on paper, based on what we saw last season, could be a challenge, but we know Syracuse, the quarterback position and some other areas going to have to replace some guys too.
Yeah. McCord is leaving Syracuse. So that who really did a good job as far as setting all kinds of record there, Tennessee playing Georgia at home, but Trav, Bama and Florida on the road and Vol fans are saying right now, in January, we split that one. We'll be okay.
Texas Longhorns checking in at 9.5. And I think some people look at that and think it might be a tad low. I think Texas's schedule is somewhat friendly, but what, Georgia on the road, and then got to go to Florida, as we know, but do get Texas A&M in Austin when you flip that around. And also a pretty significant opener for the Longhorns, too, who go to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And right now, Ohio State listed as an early 4.5-point favorite.
Well, that will be quite an opener there. Trev, I'm concerned a little bit for them. They're going to have to rebuild their offensive line. They've got to replace Golden and Isaiah Bond.
Yeah.
At wide receiver.
Banks at tackle.
That's right. But three of the four DBs are leaving. I mean, this will look, the Sark's has stockpiled talent there. There's no question about it. But some of the guys that are losing here, that brings you a little bit of thought. But I still think Texas and some of the preseason magazines, which will be out about 4 months from now, will be very kind to the Longhorns.
Yeah, I think Texas at 9.5, given the quarterback situation, you're giving them a little bit of a Arch bump. You're thinking Arch is going to be that good in 2025 because schedule-wise, it won't be a walk in the park. I don't think that will be the case for the Texas Longhorns. Speaking of some other interesting week one matchups that we're seeing some early lines for, how about Auburn at Baylor?
Yeah, that's
a different matchup, isn't it?
It really is.
And look, you know, Auburn's just a 1.5-point favorite here early. And you hate to overhype openers, but going into year three under Hugh Freeze and what the expectations are going to be related to that move to year three and with quarterback changes, revamping that room, I don't think it's a stretch to say that's going to be a big, big game for Hugh Freeze out in Waco.
And listen, people may have forgotten Baylor was on fire at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Last year, boy, there's going to be a lot of microscopes with Jackson Arnold to see how the former Oklahoma quarterback does at that point. We know Deuce Knight is coming in, and he is the future with that. But Trav, look, you and I both know from talking to some Auburn people, if Deuce Knight still would be an incoming freshman, even as good as he is, if Jackson Arnold does not work out, unfortunately for Auburn, that may be a situation. Hugh Freeze may not be able to may not coach Deuce Knight very long.
You know, there could be, with all these returning quarterbacks that we talked about in relation to the Heisman Trophy odds, there still could be some very impactful true freshman quarterbacks.
No question. Absolutely.
Keelan Russell, maybe, at Alabama. Deuce Knight, maybe, at Auburn. There is room in the league at some prominent programs for true freshmen to step in behind center and make big, big impacts in the league in 2025.
Trev, how about staying on Auburn a minute? Kim Coleman, obviously with Peyton Thorne there, things just didn't work at times. If they can get that quarterback situation straightened out, I tell you what, with the receivers they've got coming back with Bryce Kane, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, how with these guys in good quarterback play, it really makes you wonder how. I mean, could Cam Coleman somehow get involved a little bit with this Heisman situation?
Oh, he's got the physical attributes to do it, and we did see it at the end of the year. I mean, he did some big, big things down the stretch of his true freshman season there. So I don't have any doubt about that. I question more is how much ceiling does Jackson Arnold have?
Yeah,
I mean, I understand the situation after Jeff Lebby left Oklahoma. The offensive coordinator spot just was never really settled in 2024. And even when it felt like it was more later in the season, Jackson Arnold was used almost like an academy offense quarterback.
Yeah,
he wasn't used in a way that was like, hey, this is a guy that you really want throwing it around 35, 40 times. And I don't think Hugh wants that either, ideally, in his offense. So, yeah, we'll see. Again, there are some veteran guys at both Auburn and Alabama. Ty Simpson's a guy that's been in that program a long time, waited his turn. But as I've said before, if you're, you know, if you're looking to change that situation at Alabama with Kalen DeBoer, and you think Keelan Russell's your best guy, mm-hmm. then you need to go with him. Okay. You know, all the nostalgia and all the career achievement type of awards, mm-hmm. that needs to be over. You need to be steadfast and brutal in your evaluations if it comes down to it.
Yeah.
And it may be that Ty Simpson is the best option. That would not surprise me.
Yeah.
I think he has the tools needed to be a really good quarterback for Alabama. But if you feel like Keelan Russell is is that far advanced and ready to kind of give you a DJ Lagway impact
right.
at that position, you know, you might need to roll with that situation. So interesting for both Alabama and Auburn and how those quarterback jobs might ultimately go. Might be something going into August, could be something different coming out of August. I think what you don't want is to get in season and then you're going through changes, because that probably means you're not winning enough games.
Oh, absolutely. And Trev, I think the other thing is, will Keelan Russell be physically ready to battle in the SEC? Now, I'll also throw this in for Auburn. I know we're talking quarterbacks, and if I asked you this question, you'd get it on the first guess here. Trev, I still think their biggest loss is Jarquez Hunter. If they could have kept him around a little bit more, I think that Auburn coaching staff would sleep better at night.
Yeah, difference maker, no doubt about it, Jarquez Hunter. But, you know, typically in the SEC at places like Auburn, there's usually a next guy up situation.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I would anticipate that being the case for the Tigers in year three under Hugh Freeze. But I've said it before, I think Hunter's going to be one of those guys in the NFL that we're going to look at and go, or some people will. We've talked about it. But some people are going to, that don't really follow it or aren't SEC people like we are going to see Jarquez Hunter in the NFL as maybe a second or third round pick and go, wow, this guy's a 1,000-yard rusher as a rookie. And he's always been that guy.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he tracks at the next level for sure. Brent, anything else before we get out of here on a Wednesday night?
The college football playoff the group met over the weekend. As we said earlier, folks missed it and just tuning in. They are still maybe a tweak or two for 25. Most of that's going to go in on 26. So that's something that we will look forward to along that way too. But it's going to be a fascinating I think off season, a lot of talk about should we shorten the length between games and the playoffs. I enjoy the playoffs. I think they need to recede. I do think they need to. I'm not sure these teams, Travis, need a month off between the championship game and their conference and their first game, the ones who get the bye, that is. So there is still a lot to
I don't work. Know after how the games went. For the teams that got the buys, that I'd want a month off.
If that's I was what I mean. Absolutely. Teams,
right?
Yeah.
Man, that didn't go so well.
No. Teams. No. Hey, and Trent, the question has to be asked. I know you were going to check on Pops and Nana's birthday. Did he step up to the occasion? And Trev, we're less than a month now from Valentine's Day.
I know. That's scary. That's a scary proposition with Pops. He has improved. He has Good. Improved. I don't know if we just totally shamed him, you know, kind of into it. But I think he's gotten better. I haven't heard any complaints from Nana. Yeah. We'll have another get together soon here. So we'll see how he responds to that. But all things are looking at trending upward with Pops in regards to those type of situations.
And Trev, give your YouTube a plug. And I know your love for golf. Look, we're in January. And this thing gets, I think it's already going, shall we say, but the golf season gets going in earnest very quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You got the PGA Tour cranked up. I love that PGA Tour Live. So I think it's the Farmers Insurance Open out in Torrey Pines. It cranked up today. They crank it up on Wednesday instead of Thursday. So that was enjoyable. Yeah, I do. I love it. Love watching all the SEC guys. I mean, you talk about SEC representation in the NFL, watch the PGA Tour. I mean, you got Georgia guys, you got Auburn guys, Alabama guys, Texas now, obviously, with Jordan Spieth and some of those guys that played and for the Longhorns throughout the years. It's all over the place. But, Brent, as always, man, a lot of fun here on Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers, the number one league in all of collegiate athletics. Right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, hit that subscribe button. Turn on that notification bell. That way you're updated to our shows when they drop here on the channel. And if you would hit us with a thumbs up, a like, we would appreciate that as well. Brent, until next time.
We'll look forward to it.
For Brent, I'm Travis. Thanks again. And until next time, so long, everybody.